Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire, where we are all savages in that box. My name is Mike Trainer. This is a podcast about the New York Yankees. The format of this show will cover the Yankee news, game recaps, injuries around the diamond notes, stats, and news around the league that is relevant to the Yankees. So let's get to it. We're going to start off with the only thing that matters to us right now, and that is the injury report. First up, Luis Severino. Severino had Tommy John surgery performed over the weekend and is out for the rest of this year and most likely will return around May or June of next season. It's going to take a full year to rehab that, and I wouldn't expect much for him when he comes back. I would expect him to be on a pitching, an innings limit, and I don't think they're going to expect him to just open up and light it up. He's going to have to build up that arm strength. I would expect vintage Severino no earlier than the 2022 season at best. I think that with all their injuries, they're just extra cautious, and they're going to, you know, they got a lot invested in him, and he's going to be taken care of. They're not going to push him. So I wouldn't expect much for him this year. Well, next year, rather. Up next, Aaron Judge. Now, as of right now, as I'm recording this, the news is no news. He had his MRI on his right shoulder, that came back clean. He reports of pain in his pectoral muscle when swinging the bat. Well, I mean, when you talk about pectoral injuries, you know, you got to start thinking about, is it torn? If it's a slight tear, I mean, how long is that going to take to recover? Is there going to be surgery? Is there something he can play with for the year? Can he manage the pain? I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out what the deal is. And, you know, hopefully it's just what they're saying it is, just, you know, soreness in the shoulder area, the pectoral muscle area. And if they got to shut him down for a month, I'm fine with it. I think most people would be fine with it as long as you're not losing them for the whole year. I did do a little research, and with the pectoral surgery, it would take about 6 months recovery. You're talking about stretching, rehab, everything that goes with that, and I would assume that's before baseball activities. So you think about it, that'll push him to about September. So you would assume if they ramp him up fast, if he's ready to go and they clear him and he's playing in simulated games and he's been, you know, working out all year and hopefully he's in pretty good shape and now he's got to swing the bat. And if there's no injuries with that, then maybe you have him by the playoffs. But do you even want him in the playoffs if he hasn't played all year? I don't know. I mean, he's the kind of guy you think could just step right in and just tear the cover off the ball, but I don't know. We have to wait and see. Hopefully it's just soreness. But I think a lot of people, from what I'm seeing on Twitter and things like that, are wondering if it's a torn pec, and hopefully not. I mean, we were all fearful of Tommy John with Severino, and that turned out to be the case because you never want to hear these things. The Yankees have not released any information as of 10 o'clock on Monday night. So we will see if tomorrow the news breaks that all tests came back negative, and it's just soreness, and he's going to need a little rest. So fingers crossed on that one, boys. Paxton. He's recovering from a cyst removal on his back. I'm not going to say what the name of the surgery was. He is slated to be back by June. Now he's going to start revving up and start pitching in a week or so, which is, I think, way earlier than what most people thought. So he's hoping to be back by the end of May. That'd be nice. I hope so. I hope he, if he feels like he can do it, and he's over the hurdle, so to speak. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, he can get through that, and he's ready to go. I don't want them revving him up too fast, but if he can go through his normal spring training progression and he's ready to go at about the same time that he should have been ready to go, then I don't see why May would be a problem at all. And they can certainly use him right now with Severino being out for the year. So they can't afford to lose him or mess him up anytime soon. They need to get him going. So hopefully, when he comes back, because this is a contract year for him, that he can pitch up to the potential, and hopefully he can. I'd like to see the Yankees be able to re-sign him, but injury and how he responds to coming back and what his overall numbers are going to be at the end of the year are going to determine whether the Yankees are going to want to bring him back or not. So we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. But, hopefully he comes back and pitches us and is a vital part of us winning the World Series, because ultimately that's what the goal is. And we got guys that are down, but we're going to have guys step up just like we did last year, next man up. That mentality does not change from year to year, so we should keep that going. Aaron Hicks, recovering from Tommy John. Looking at the end of June or July for him for his return, according to Aaron Boone. But I think that might be too early. I know he had the surgery right after the playoffs or after the World Series in November. And he should be on track, but you have to remember Didi. When Didi had his surgery, he came back. I think we all need to admit to ourselves that he just wasn't quite ready yet. I think that he was trying to rev it up too fast to catch up for lost time, and it just didn't. I think he had his moments, but I think if he was honest with himself, he would have taken maybe a little bit more time. Or, at least, I don't want to say the whole year, because that would have been ridiculous. But he just wasn't ready when he came up, and I think he was trying to play catch-up. And you got to remember, Hicks is a switch hitter. So he's got to get his timing set for both sides of the plate. Plus, he's a center fielder, so he's got to be in shape. He's got to get his arm ready to go. And it's going to be a haul. I think that they would like to have him back, and if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. But I think they should be a little bit more cautious with him. I think that their outfield depth right now, barring any more injuries, is okay. Can hold up, I think, until he comes back. But they need to get other guys straightened out first. And, that includes Judge, because we don't know what's going to happen with him. And this guy, Giancarlo Stanton, or Mr. Glass, depending on who you ask. I know a lot of Yankee fans like to give him a little bit of grief for his injuries all the time. And I know he only played 18 games last year and was basically invisible. And we had him for a couple games in the playoffs, but his legs gave out on him again. I don't ever want to fault a guy for being hurt, especially when, they are trying to get back. I mean, this guy wants to play. And, I think that he takes a lot more grief than he deserves. But I'm not going to tell you guys how to feel about him. If you hate him, you hate him. If you like him, you like him. I personally like him. I think he's a benefit to our team when healthy. When healthy, that's the key. He needs to be out in the field, especially since he's not a homegrown guy. So there's no slack to be given by most of us fan base here. But we need to remember that, he is trying to get out there. And when this guy is right, he's right. He's as deadly hitter as they come. So we have to, cut him a little slack. But, I'm not going to tell you guys how to feel. I know reading Yankee Twitter, shout out to the Yankee Twitterverse, guys. Love you. That, you know, he is either hated or loved. And there doesn't seem to be much middle ground. And I see a lot of back and forth. And that's one argument I try to stay out of because, you know, I like I said, I can't tell somebody how to feel. I personally think he should, you know, be given a chance. But I understand. Anyway, so he has a grade 1 calf strain. And he shut down. Opening day is in doubt, but we obviously know that's not going to happen. He hasn't even revved up yet. He got hurt basically doing some light running in the outfield. So, I mean, you know, come on. You know, you can't make this stuff up with him, but I understand. So they say grade 1, so he's going to have to rest right now, rest and treatment. And when he starts feeling no pain, then they'll start his normal spring training progression. My guess is I think they're going to take it slow with him because of his previous leg issues from last year, which basically was a scrap year for him. I think they will keep him probably to the end of April. That would be my guess is when we'll first see him, if I had to bet. I think, like I said, they're going to be extra cautious with him. I think that, you know, he may be trying to get out there probably by the second or third series. But I think they're gonna keep him out till at least the end of the month. I think they're gonna really want to keep an eye on it and make sure he's 110% before he gets out there, because anything less than that, apparently, you know, he's gonna be out a while, and you don't want it to get worse, because God forbid it becomes a grade 4 and he tears the muscle off the bone or he tears an Achilles, he's gonna be out for a year plus. So, you know, we have to be careful of him. And I know everybody's talking about the big contract. And I try not to even look at that anymore because, you know, these guys, they get paid what they get paid. You know, you just have to look at it as a whole instead of a piece. And just, you know, we need him. And regardless of what he gets paid, he's a big bat and he needs to be out there. So, you know, for all the Stanton haters out there, I mean, you're right and you're wrong. So we just have to, you know, cheer for him when he gets out there and encourage him to, you know, hopefully he gets better. We can't just be tearing him down all the time. We don't want to be those guys. So that's the injury report. Don't have anything else right now in terms of that. I'm sure there'll be more injuries in camp because, you know, it's the Yankees and apparently they get hurt. You know, some things never change. So with Judge being out, Stanton being out, Hicks obviously out. We need guys that are going to step up. So who's going to step up? All right. Right now we're looking at a big opportunity for Clint Frazier. And I think guys after last year with his attitude issues and his bad defense, I mean, this is it for him. I believe this is it for him. I know most of us are all big Clint fans. And, yeah, I want to see him pull through. I think he's got, as what they call, legendary bat speed. The man can hit. He's major league ready, but unfortunately, we got too many guys on his team that are slated to be the DH. So he needs to play the outfield. He needs to play the outfield. Not great. He doesn't have to be great, but you know what? Catch the goddamn fly ball that's hit to you. You know what I mean? I don't want to feel like that time stood still because a pop-up is coming at you, and we're not sure if you're going to catch it or not. You know, I know he might have the yips from when he crashed into the wall and got that concussion, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, but he needs to get over that at this point. I mean, it's time. It's shit or get off the pot, because he's got an opportunity here where he can basically, you know, he could force the Yankees' hand here. Either he could earn a spot on this team and keep it after the injuries come back, or he's going to end up being traded, which I don't know if that's what he wants. I don't know if he wants to go back to Scranton. I don't think he wants to go back to Scranton. I think he was pretty vocal about that last year, but he needs to figure it out. And so far, he's been tearing it up in spring, and he looks pretty good in the outfield too. But spring, there's no pressure. So when the pressure starts, how's he going to look out there? So I would say he's our right fielder right now, obviously. And unless somebody in camp manages to pass him over, I don't see him losing the spot. I think he breaks camp with the team. So I think we got Clinton right. I think Talkman is now more important. Now I think he's our center fielder, and I think you move Gardner back to his strongest position, which is left field. Now Talkman is above average defensively, and I think he's earned a right to be on this team as our fourth outfielder, but now he's slated to be our starting center fielder, and he can hit. So as he proven to us last year, I think he really surprised a lot of folks when we first got him. We were like, who's this guy? But he stepped up a lot. So I think Mikey Talkman ends up in center field, Clinton right, and Gardner in left field. Now, what's our lineup going to be? Now, if it was me, if I'm making the lineup card, now I'm not going righty-lefty matchups because I don't know who's starting against us opening day in Baltimore. I don't even know if it matters. I mean, it's the Orioles, so who cares? You know what I mean? You got Palmer out there, and I don't think it'll matter at this point. But if I'm making the lineup right now, I think it would be hard-pressed to go against this. Gardner in left, LeMahieu at second, Labor at short. Got the Kraken batting fourth. I put Voit as my fifth spot. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think he would have had that last year if he didn't have that sports hernia, which turned out to be pretty bad, apparently. And I think he tried to play through it, which was the wrong decision. But, you got to respect the man's toughness. He tried to stick it out when he was in really bad shape, and I think worse than what he was admitting to all of us. So I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think if he's healthy, I think the fact that I believe Mike Ford will be on the bench too. I think we're going to see a lefty-righty combo there, and Ford can definitely push him. If Voit goes into an extended slump or he gets hurt, because injuries are going to happen, I think everybody's going to get a little banged up at some point, Ford will push him. So I think he needs to keep in mind that he is the starting first baseman for now. And he needs to keep that if he's going to – he needs to keep that in his head if he's going to have a good year. So we got Voit batting fifth. Now, six, I would put Andujar. Now, whether he comes out of camp as our third baseman, I don't think he's going to see much left field action when he comes out. But I like to see him hold down third or be our DH. Maybe some first base. I don't know. I haven't seen him yet play a spring training game at first. I've seen him in left, and he looks pretty decent as far, but I don't think they really want him out there in left. I think they're just, if his bat is lighting it up and a couple guys need days off or they got to move somebody around, if Sanchez is DH in that day or whatever, and Higgy's backing him up, and they want to keep Andujar in the lineup. Maybe he plays a game at left. I don't know. But I like the options. But I think right now Andujar is my DH while Stanton is out. Gio's a much better third baseman. So I got Andujar at six, Gio at seven, or Clinton at seven. You could flip-flop those two depending on who's hitting better. I know Clint gets into his head a lot, so I don't know if you want him in the bottom of the lineup or not. And Talkman in the ninth spot, because I think him coming to him bookending a lineup with Gardner, I think, is good. I like the lefty-lefty there, because both of them can bunt and do other things that some of these power guys don't do. So I like that. Like I said, Gardner, LeMahieu, Glaber, Sanchez, Voit, Andujar, Gio, Clint, and Talkman. I think that's a pretty solid lineup. I think that's a better lineup than most teams in the league. It's obviously not our, ultimate lineup with Judge and Stanton being out, and even Hicks. But you know what? These guys are capable, and they shown last year that they're all capable. So I think we could hold the fort until we get guys back or we find out what's going on. Now, our pitching rotation, this is where it gets interesting, folks, because we have to figure out who our fifth starter is. Now, with Severino being our number two starter, he's out for the year. Everybody moves up a spot. So you got Gerrit Cole, who is just, he's our guy. He's the ace. And boy, are we, Boy, are we happy we ended up signing him, huh? I mean, I know we needed him, but man, did we need him. So he needs to do what he does and come out there and be ready to go, and I have no doubts. I'm not even going to talk much about him because I think we all know what he's going to do. He's going to come out there and he's going to be Garrett Cole. He's going to light it up, and he's going to be our guy. He's going to hold court, so to speak. So we got Cole Tanaka, who's also coming into a free agency year. I think I don't know if they're bringing back these guys. I don't know if it's going to be one or none, or maybe with Severino being out till mid next year, most likely they end up bringing back both Tanaka and Paxton. I don't know. It depends on what they're going to want. I think Tanaka being basically a playoff ace type caliber pitcher, he's gonna really want the money. And you know, it's funny that, you know, every year, basically since his, what was it, his first year or second year when he had the UCL tear, that everybody was like, oh, any game now, right? How many of you guys out there even think about that anymore? I haven't thought about that for, I would say, two seasons plus now since, you know, I used to, like, every start of his, I used to be like, well, this could be the game. This could be it. And then he could be out 2 years with the Tommy John. I think we're beyond that point now. I think he's proven capable to work around it. I don't even worry about it anymore. And I think he made the right call on that. I was a little skeptic at first years back, but now I'm ready to go. And I believe in him. And he, you know, he's going to have probably a high 3 ERA, low 4 ERA, and that's regular season because I think he holds back. But when the games count and it's money time, I mean, who's better? Obviously, Cole is better, but, I mean, I have faith in Tanaka, and I think everybody will, too. And I think he's going to hold it down for us in number two. Hap moves up to number three, and, boy, are we glad we didn't end up trading him, huh? We're so happy now. He's going to be our number three guy. He's going to pitch probably, I would say, 160 innings, maybe, give or take. Probably a mid-4 ERA. Now, they're talking about not having the juiced ball that they had last year. So, home runs should be down for him, which will be great for us. Offensively, might hurt a few of our guys. But pitching-wise, it's definitely going to help. It'll help Tanaka with his splitter. Should help Hap with his fastball, his high fastball, that he doesn't get tattooed and taken out. So I expect him to have a bounce back year. And it's also, I think he has that stipulation in his contract where it automatically becomes an option pickup if he hits his innings limit, plus I think a little bit of a raise. So we'll have to see on that. If I'm wrong, just comment on my Twitter page and let me know. So he moves up. Montgomery becomes important. Now, we got to remember, Montgomery was out pretty much most of all of last year. So we're going to have to see what happens with him. I think he's slated to be our number four. He's looked good in spring so far. And I think having the full offseason healthy and getting back into rhythm, I think he's going to be good. Now, remember, before his injuries in 2018, he looked pretty good too. So I think we're going to be all right with Monty. I think he probably numbers maybe similar to Hap, maybe a little bit better. I think I think at this point he probably has better stuff. He just doesn't have the veteran presence that a Hap does. So I would say their numbers will probably be similar. I think once Paxton comes back, Montgomery slides into the fifth spot or the fourth, depending on who's better between him or Hap. So we'll see what happens there. Now we're getting to the fifth spot. The biggest question coming into camp right now, the only thing that seems to matter other than injuries, which we will not know until they tell us. So until then, we have to figure out what's going on with the fifth spot. And I think a lot of people are thinking it's going to be Lasagna, King, Schmidt, or are we going with the opener with Chad Green? Personally, with me, I'd rather see Michael King. I think he's the most major league ready out of him and Schmidt. I think Schmidt didn't pitch all that many innings the last couple years. I think they're going to want to stretch him out in AAA. King seems to be more ready of the two. I think they're going to give him probably the first shot. That, depending on what they want to do with Johnny Lasagna, Loaisiga. So I think Loaisiga has no options this year, so he can't be sent down. I think they're going to keep him up. So he's probably our number one option for the fifth starter. Personally, I would hope not. I think he is better slated to come out of the bullpen as a power arm. I think he excelled at that last year when they had him in that situation. And I think he has electric stuff. I think he, once he's able to come in for an inning and just unload and let it go, I think he is dominant. He can be a dominant force to the back end of that bullpen. He could be Betances' replacement, I think. I don't think that's too much of a stretch to say. As a starter, I think we've seen everything we need to see out of him. I don't think that we're going to get much out of him in terms of anything different than what he's shown us in the past. I think he's an average starter at best. I think he's shown moments of being really good. He could be a possible two or a three. But I think most cases, it's just he's not able to put it together long enough. He's more of a short-inning reliever guy at this point. I think that's where they want to keep him. I'm hoping that's where they want to keep him, and I think that's where they should keep him. So that means either we go with the rookies or we go with the opener with Chad Green, probably followed up by Lasagna, or anybody else. I don't know. I mean, Sessa maybe, but I don't want to see Sessa get stretched out either. I think he finally found the role last year. I think most fans got tired of seeing him make emergency spot starts or filling in every now and then the last few years, and we were just like, this guy sucks. I don't know what Cashman sees in him. I never understood why he was there. They moved into the bullpen last year, and the man was really good. And he was it was a situation like Johnny Lasagna where he had no options left. So it was either he was going to get released because I don't know if he'd have passed through waivers. Probably not, because pitchers are pitchers. And he shown that in the bullpen, in the right circumstances, he was pretty good. He was somebody who was actually reliable. His stuff is good, and I think it's like Johnny Lasagna. It's more better for him to be, it's better for him to be in the bullpen where he could kind of not have to worry about trying to start. Just go out there and pitch and, get your three batters, maybe, two innings of work and get out of there. I think that's where I want to see Sessa, and that's where I want to see Lasagna. That's why I think they should go with King. I believe, let's see what the kid's got. I think he, and at the very least, he saves the bullpen innings. And if the offense will pick him up, then he can get some wins out of it. I don't see where there's anything to lose there. I don't want to see, I'm tired of the opener. I think we played that out a little bit too much last year. And I think Chad Green is a man of habit. He's a creature of habit. He wants to be told when he's pitching. And I know that's ridiculous for a bullpen guy to be told when he's pitching, but if he's starting games, he wants to know. So either he's going to be an opener where he knows that, every fifth day or so, he's the opener. He's coming out for two innings plus, and that's his day. And if he knows that, then he's fine with it. If he's a bullpen guy where he's the sixth, seventh inning guy, and they got him slated to go that day, he wants to know when he's going. If he's not pitching that day, then he wants to know that he's not pitching that way. And he's just that guy. He needs to know. So I don't know if I like this opener with him. He was very effective at it. So I like to save that for emergencies. I don't think we're there yet. So I don't know what they want to do with him yet. I haven't seen him pitch more in an inning yet in spring training, but I haven't seen many of the games yet. So we'll see how that works out. But I like to see King. Keep an eye on King. All right. Unless he tails off in spring training, I like to see him or Schmidt, but I don't think Schmidt has to be put on the 40, man. I know that much. So he's not there yet. He has an innings that he has to build on. So I really think they're going to keep him in Triple-A Scranton, where he can really get the work in down there, and then hopefully he'll be up later on in the year. I'm sure there'll be more injuries. There always are. We all know that. All right, on to the next one. Bullpen. So we got our Chapman, Ottavino, Britton, Green, Canely, Sessa, Johnny Lasagna, because he has no options. And so either he's going to be starting or he's going to be in the pen. So that's seven. We have room for one more. I think my personal pick should go to Ben Heller. And if anybody's seen Ben Heller pitch, and I saw him in Scranton pitch, kid can light it up. I know he pitched a little bit towards the end of the year. He's got good stuff. I think he's another power arm. And we can never not need those guys. And I'd rather see him than Holder. I'm done with Holder. I don't want to see Holder on this team ever again. I think he's trash. I think he's garbage. I think most of you guys agree with me on that. I think they should get rid of him. So that's our eight guys in the pen. So we got bench spots still. So Higgy's obviously our backup catcher. I think Tyler Wade comes out this year with us. I think he breaks camp. And he is our utility guy because he can play outfield and the infield pretty much all positions. And he's starting to hit. I think he's finally to the point now where he can hit. And I love that. I think most of us are Tyler Wade fans, and we've been pulling for him for a few years now. And we really want to see him pick it up. So the fact that I think he's going to break camp with us is a big step in his career. I think he's finally ready to do so. Okay, so Mike Ford, I said, breaks camp with us too, I think, as the backup first baseman. I think that's obvious. I think we all expect that to happen. I think Ford's going to have a good year too when he gets to play. He's got power. Defensively, he's not bad. I actually saw him play third base one time in Scranton, which was surprising to me. I know he played one in spring training this year, and he looked pretty good. Surprisingly athletic for a guy his size. So that leaves one more spot on the bench. So who is that going to be? Is that going to be Tyro Estrada, another infielder? But how many infielders do we need? Tyro's been up with us last year. I think that kid has special stuff myself. I think either he's trade bait, or he's somebody that maybe if we don't bring back Urshela, somebody who maybe we can transition him into a third baseman. I don't know. I think that the Yankees like him, and he's young, and so he's definitely going to have playing time in Scranton this year. But I don't know if he comes up, or do we need an outfielder? So if we need an extra outfielder, who's that going to be? Floreal? I'd like to see him finally make a stand this year. He's gotten injured the last 2 years where it's put him months behind. I think he's getting to a point now where it's like Clint Frazier, you know, the hype is starting to wear off, and it's either shit or get off the pot. And I know he's still young, and I know he needs a little bit more playing time, but I think the kick and hit, he reminds me of a young Bernie Williams. I think a lot of people can see that in him if you're of that age. You know, circa 1991, Bernie with the glasses. Floreal has that kind of build, and I think he has that kind of ability. I'd like to see him make the team, or at least, you know, open up some eyes. Definitely come out of spring training healthy and be able to at least contribute in AAA so that when injuries occur, he is an option that can come up. So it's either him or Tyra would be my guess. I don't really see any of the other spring training guys pushing those two out. I think those guys are just jockeying for different levels and AAA or AA slots. So that would be my guess. One of those two. Most likely Tyro, I would think. So I want to talk about this. I saw this on Twitter the other day, and I think most of you guys probably saw this video. I know a lot of my new friends on the Yankee Twitter have been posting this, and a lot of people are talking about it. It's Domingo Germán. Now, I know he's the elephant in the room. We don't exactly know what he did to be suspended. I know there was rumors that at the CC Sabathia Gala last year that he was involved in some kind of argument situation type thing with his girlfriend. Rumor was he slapped her in public, and somebody from the MLB office, I heard possibly Joe Torre, but I'm not sure, witnessed it and reported it. And that's how everything got started. And next thing you know, he was suspended. Nothing has been released. Nobody knows exactly what happened, but these are just the rumors I had heard. So now he's suspended for 65 games, which is a bummer, you know, because, you know, not only was that a piece of shit thing to do, And I know, you know, I don't know how to feel about it because, like, I want to cheer for the laundry and not necessarily have to cheer for the man if I don't like him. Now, I liked him until this happened, and I'm a big believer in not abusing your loved ones. I mean, that should be the obvious, right? So, in his case, you know, you have to look at, as long as he doesn't do this again, and he learns from this, because, you know, throughout the history of sports, this has happened numerous times, and everybody has an opinion on it, and you know what? Like the great Michael K. Ovi says, winning is the ultimate deodorant. It just covers up everything. So if he comes back and he pitches like he pitched last year, people are going to forgive him. That's just the way it goes. If he comes back and he pitches like crap, everybody's going to boo him out of here. Cashman's going to have to get rid of him just on that alone. So he needs to wake up, because we saw this video of, apparently there was a car accident in the Dominican Republic. We're not sure all the details yet, but it looked like him and a bunch of his friends were in a dune buggy, and somebody had cut the wheel too tight and rolled it. And now the Yankees and some of the media are saying that he wasn't in the buggy himself, but he was there and it was his friends and he helped them out. Some people are saying he was in the back seat when it rolled. He wasn't injured, but his girlfriend was in there and she had broken her arm. I'm not sure what's real, what's not real. Everybody's saying that he's okay. So, minus his friends, minus his girlfriend, you know, we're going to focus on him. Now, the fact that he was involved in that at all just proves to me how immature he is right now, when he needs to be working out and getting ready. And, you know, if he's out there doing the stupid crap, I don't understand what the hell is wrong with him. He needs to get his shit together, because he, you know, he needs to show him that he's learned his lesson here. Excuse me. He needs to show that he learned his lesson. He needs to be able to show that he is coming back and he's ready to go. Because he better be ready to go, because he may end up being our fifth starter. He has an important chance here. He needs to just show that he is, you know, he's doing everything right. He can't even have the appearance of doing something stupid. Now, if he's out there doing something stupid like this, where he can possibly injure himself on a team that's already full of injuries, this is irresponsible. Who's watching this kid? Who is in the Dominican Republic that is watching this kid? I want to know. You know, and I know he's a grown man, technically. But you know what? You invest a lot into these players. Somebody has to be down there watching him and making sure he's not putting himself in bad situations. Because you know what? This is the kind of stuff that can derail a season. You know, he can end up getting hurt himself, and then he could be out for the year. And then, you know, he's not somebody who can be relied on. And when the kid is trying to make a team, and he's trying to get to that point where he's going to make money, maybe you should start thinking about things like that. So I don't know. But we'll move on from that for now until we find out more. So we got a rumor that I saw today from Andy Martino on SNY. Now, he says that Cashman has contacted the Mets about a possible trade that involves us getting Steven Matz for Miguel Andujar. I don't know if that's straight up. I don't know if that's we're getting more, because I think we should get more. I think Andujar's stock is, even with the injury, I think is still higher than Steven Matz. Now, I'm not a big Steven Matz guy. I think he's a decent pitcher. I think he's a number five. So, I mean, do you want to trade somebody who can be a possible, you know, 30 home run guy, you know, high average, tons of doubles? We saw what Mickey can do in his rookie year, and that was his rookie year. And we know he can hit. You know, the fielding is his only downside. Would we be talking about this if his fielding was, you know, A+? No, we wouldn't. We'd be laughing at this deal. Steven Matz, to me, I think, you know, I don't really look at his numbers. I don't follow the Mets, obviously. They're not much to me. Every time I see him, he looks to me as like a number five starter, mid-4 ERA, has decent stuff. I think he can get by on it, but I don't know if that translates to the American League, where there's no pitcher to hide behind in the batting order. So I don't see it. I think if you're going to trade Andujar, you got to get somebody better than that. And, you know, I hope that that's just Cashman doing due diligence. I'm hoping it wasn't Andujar's name that he was throwing out there for Steven Matz. I think that's a foolish trade. But if I'm wrong, let me know. You know, my Twitter handle is Savage Empire Pod, and you can contact me anytime. If you want to yell at me, tell me how I'm doing, tell me that I'm wrong, anything, it's all good. I'm happy to get any comments I can get, trust me. But I would not make that deal in a million years. I don't think it's worth it. I think it's crap. So hopefully it doesn't happen. And I don't know if the Mets would want to do it because, you know, the Mets can be one of those teams that's like, they'll get scared out of it. They'll think, all right, what's wrong with Andujar? And what are the Yankees going to do to turn Steven Matz around with their analytical department? I don't know. I don't know. The Mets would probably psych themselves out of it anyway. And, you know, being that it is Cashman, we probably would turn Steven Matz into a 20-game winner. Who knows? But I don't want to see Andujar get traded for him. So moving on to that, we got two more things to talk about, and then I'll call it a show. We're looking at the Red Sox punishment. Finally, well, at some point, hopefully soon, I haven't heard anything yet, will come out. And I think that their punishment compared to what the Astros did has to be light in terms of team punishment. Now, Cora, on the other hand, he was already fired. So, everybody forgets that. He was fired, but he hasn't been punished yet. So the Astros, they got 1 year for their GM and 1 year for their manager, Hinch, I think that he gets 2 years. Now, you got to remember, he probably gets 2 years mainly because he was an Astro. He was the Astros bench coach, and he was the mastermind behind this with Carlos Beltran, apparently, from what the report says. I think the fact that he was on the Red Sox when they were cheating. Now, let me slow it down here before I get to what I think is going to happen. The Red Sox cheating is different than what the Astros did. Now, I know I'm a Yankee fan. I'm going to defend the Red Sox here a little bit, but bear with me, all right? I need you to hang with me here because it's not that crazy. The Red Sox are being accused of basically stealing signs by using electronics, okay? Now, what they did was they were able to use the replay room, not in real time, so to speak, obviously, not like the Astros did with the banging on the garbage cans, but they were able to go during the game, look in the replay room, and be able to decode the catcher signs and then use it for when a runner got to second base or would relay it to the batter, just like everybody else does, except for the fact that they use the replay room. But if they're doing it, I have to assume a lot of teams were doing that. The replay room is just too easily accessible, and I don't like it. Personally, I think that the replay room should not even be anywhere near the dugouts. It shouldn't be anywhere near the clubhouse. It should be in a different part of the stadium where nobody from the team has access to the room. All right, it should be major league personnel only, and there should be the ones that are just there. And if there's a challengeable moment, the manager should have to do it blindly. He should be able to say to the umpire, I believe that guy was safe or he was out and I want to challenge it. And then they signal up to the replay room. The replay guy does his job. Now, that's what I personally feel like. I think that eliminates more than half the problems with the cheating right there. I know the technology is available, but you know what? You have to make it not available to the players. There should be no technology used at all. Now, if they need it to study a bat and they do their analytical stuff off of that and they're doing their books and the preparation on pitching sequences and things like that, that's fine. I'm all right with that. You can't do it during the game, though. You got to go back after the game, replay all that stuff, and then you got it down, and then hopefully you commit that to memory for the next time you see that guy. I'm all right with that. Every team is trying to get an advantage, and that's fine. My problem is this, the replay room and being able for players to just use it at will. I don't like it. I think most people don't like it, and personally, it should be scrapped everywhere. Now, getting back to Cora. Now, he was on the Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox in 2017 were told about the technology aspect. They were using Apple Watches against the Yankees, and they were told not to do it. The Yankees were also told that year about using the bullpen phone to see if pitches were called strikes or not, if they were really strikes or not, I guess the umpire did not call them strikes. So the Yankees were told not to use that either technology. So they were warned, and they apparently stopped using it. The Red Sox said they were going to stop using it. They stopped using the Apple Watches, but then they did the whole replay, you know, stealing the signs and that. So that's where they get in trouble. This is where the trouble comes from, because I think the league was probably like, it's not that big of a deal, but the fact that we told you specifically that you can't use technology anymore to cheat, and then they went ahead and said, yeah, okay, whatever, screw you, we're going to do it anyway, that's where they're going to get punished. Now, I think there's going to be draft picks. I don't know if it's going to be the same as the Astros, like the next 2 years, first and second round. It might be one. I think that's why I think Cora is going to get two. I think he ends up paying the price for the Astros, and he ends up paying the price for the Red Sox. So it's a double whammy for him. As far as the Red Sox go, the fine, their $5 million max fine bullshit, and the draft picks, I think that's it. I don't see much more than that. They're not going to strip the title, unfortunately, I guess. But I'm not even so much mad about that, because what the Astros did, I know, you know, it's been covered by everybody and their mother about what the Astros did, and I'm not going to get into that. You know, if I had started my podcast a month or so ago, I would have got into it. But I think that I will say this in terms of the Astros, their punishments were way light. You're not punishing the players at all. And I know the whole crap about the union, and they would have lost that fight and everything. But you know what? You put it on the union. You fight that. You suspend the players. And then if you lose it in court, you lose it in court. But you know what? You showed the fans that you tried to do something. So, honestly, what's left? You gave them a bullshit fine, and you gave them bullshit draft picks, you know, taken away. They still have their international money, which is crap. You should have pulled that, too. But you didn't. So they're going to lose their first and second round picks for the next 2 years. Great. That affects them in 4 years, 5 years. That's terrific. That does nothing for these scumbags that are on there now. All right? Altuve and Bregman and Correa. You know, the guys who have everything to say, and Verlander, the guys who have everything to say about everything, except, you know, they're just reading scripts now when it comes back on them. Okay, so what they should do, you can't suspend the player, you gave them immunity, all right? That's why you have to vacate the title. And I know everybody's been talking about this, and this is a big topic, and I think most of us are in agreement that the title is the only way you punish these guys. You strip the title away, you make them a joke. And you know what? They will survive this, sadly, because you didn't strip the title. And for history, we'll always remember that in 2017, they won the World Series. 20, 30 years from now, 40, 50 years from now, people are not even going to know why there was a big beef about this. People are going to be like, it's, you know, they're going to look through the history books, and they're going to see no asterisks. They're going to go down the line, and they're going to see every World Series titled, you know, team that won. And you have to, that's why it's important that you strip the title. Because you know what? It might be a black eye for baseball, but it's a deterrent. You ruin these guys' reputations. Their reputations are ruined now, but they can bounce back from that because there was really no punishment. They got to keep their rings. Altuve got to keep his MVP trophy, which is bullshit. The judge should have won that. But, you know, these guys have been cheating for the last 3 years, as far as we know. And, you know, and I don't want to hear that they stopped after the garbage can. Come on. I mean, don't insult us. I mean, nobody is stupid enough to believe, oh, okay, really? So you won the World Series and then you stopped cheating? Yeah, okay. The buzzers thing, I totally believe is real. I think that video Altuve and you know, all the videos that John Boy had put together and other people who were able to report on that stuff, I think are right. I think the burden of proof is on the Astros to basically show that they didn't. And just saying that they didn't do it is not enough. They have no credibility with anybody. Now, as far as what's going to happen to them this year, they're obviously going to get booed out of their mind. I think I love the fact that they open up, I think, in Anaheim this year. And all the Dodger fans, I don't know if you guys heard this, but the Dodger fans are coming in groups. I think, like, I heard like a couple thousand Dodger fans are going to Anaheim to boo the hell out of the Strohs when they come up. And that's going to be interesting. That's going to be must-watch TV. Sadly, they don't make it to the Bronx until the last week of the season, where hopefully, if everything goes right, the Yankees are on the verge of the playoffs and the Astros are not. So I don't think there's going to be retribution, which sadly, I would love for the Yankees to take it on them. But if they do, people are going to get suspended for the playoffs, and that's going to end up hurting us. Whether they do something in Houston or not, I don't know. I don't think they will. You know, one thing's for sure, you cannot make these guys look like the victim this year. That's what they want. They want to be the victim. They're trying to turn it into that. And I personally believe under no circumstances can any team allow them to play themselves off as the victim. Remember, they're the scumbags here. They get what they deserve. So if pitchers want to take liberty and hit them and drill them all year long, do it. I don't even care. And you know what? If they end up getting hurt, that's on them, man. They should have thought about it. You know, I don't want to see a pitcher purposely try to hurt somebody, but if they end up getting hurt because of it, let's just say, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Now, if you all feel differently, like you said, you're entitled to feel that way. I'm entitled to feel the way I feel. I think they cheated the game. They certainly cheated my team out of the opportunity in 2 years to go to the World Series. So, you know, if I'm being irrational, I'm allowed to be irrational. That's just the way it goes. Well, I'm going to end it there, guys. Leave me a review if you want on, hopefully on the Apple, on Google, on all the podcasts and platforms that this show will be posted on. And subscribe. Please subscribe, guys. I would love to be able to do this more. I want to make this a full-time thing. I want to be able to do series recaps like some of the other podcasts do. Eventually I would like to grow this to where I can have a co-host. I got friends of mine that I would like to get on involved. I want to build this up. I want to be, the spokesperson of Yankees Twitter. Ever since I started getting involved in Yankees Twitter, I'm loving it. I love all you guys. You guys are characters, passionate as anybody I've ever met, and, a little bit crazy too, but I think, you know, that's what we love. So I would love to get you guys involved in that too. I would like to build this show up to the point where we can do gatherings, go to some games, possibly spring training, you know, but that's down the line. Right now, I just want to build it up. Leave me some comments. Tell me what you think. Tell me if I suck. Tell me if I'm good. But like I said, I want to build this up. This is what I've been wanting to do for years. I tried to do a radio show years ago. That didn't pan out. This format is perfect because I control it. It's everything I want to do, and I want to be the voice for you guys. So if you have things to say and you want to get it out there, drop me a line, and I'll certainly get it out there. I'll give you credit for it, and we're going to build this thing together, guys, and we're going to make this big, and I want you to stick around. And, you know, come along with me on this fun trip, all right? And we're going to go for number 28 this year, and it's going to be a good year, all right? So follow me on Twitter at Empire Pod, Savage Empire Pod, and, you know, hope to see you guys soon, all right? Take care. Thank you.